Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
And we are live here on Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, the Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author, Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is heard in 27 countries, so thank you to those who are listening from around the world wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here we tell the stories of why we are doing what we're doing to help transform others and how we use our own obstacles, our own adversity, our own just crap that happens to us, right? We use all of that to inspire others, and that's what we do. We are going to learn from all the impactful guests on here how they're using their own adversities and obstacles and their own transformation to help others in the same way. Listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, and also on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. On the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them and creating memorable moments. If you have a question for any of the guests, this is a live show, so you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. And you can also catch us on iTunes and Stitcher the day or two after the episode has aired. The show is automatically uploaded to iTunes and Stitcher, so definitely catch us there. And my guest today is no different. She is amazing. She is impactful. And I want you to welcome to the show Karen. But now, how do you say your last name? Valencic, right?
It's Valencic.
Valencic. Okay. So it's like absolutely. Valencic. Karen.
Yeah.
Valencic. Awesome. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you.
I don't know what is more amazing to me, right? And we'll get into all of the stuff that makes you amazing, but I don't know what's more amazing. It is because maybe my interests align with yours, or that you're like a martial artist. Like, I don't, like, it's so incredible.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is.
So,
I've been doing martial arts for a long time. Go ahead, though.
That's awesome. So, are you ready to jump in?
I am.
Let's do this. Karen Valencic develops leaders and teams to engage through the phases of cutting edge innovation. Karen's own challenges as one of the very first women engineers at Delco Remy division of GM spurred her on to find better ways to engage that bring out the best in all stakeholders. Now, with 20 years plus experience focused on developing leaders and teams, Karen brings a unique balance of both logic and soft skills to promote engagement and innovation. In 1992, she founded Spiral Impact, which imparts a distinct perspective on conflict and performance improvement as she blends science and martial arts to inspire practical skills for collaboration and influence. Karen authored Spiral Impact, The Power to Get It Done with Grace, and the handbook, Giving Deliberate Feedback for Leaders, and produced the audio program, Strengthen Your Balance and Focus While Driving. Karen channels her vibrant experience into team and leadership development, professional conferences, coaching sessions, and et cetera, tailored to your individual needs or your organization's specific goals. She had worked closely with C-level executives, frontline customer care, and numerous people in the middle. For 20-plus years, Karen has been a devoted student of Aikido, right? It's Aikido or Aikido?
It's Aikido.
Aikido.
Yeah.
Aikido. Got it.
Yeah.
The Japanese art of reconciliation. Aikido uses position rather than force to diffuse and protect the opponent's life as well as your own. Spiral Impact is grounded in those same concepts. Karen is currently Director of Mentoring with the Healthcare Business Women's Association, Indiana Chapter, and board member with Spotlight on Nursing. She is past president of the Central Indiana Chapter of the American Society of Training and Development, formerly an adjunct professor and executive in residence at Butler University, and a former adjunct faculty with the Greenleaf Center for Servant Leadership. You can learn more about her at spiralimpact.com and then look her up on LinkedIn under Spiral Impact. She will rock your freaking world. When I was reading this thing, I was like, holy crap. She's like a certified badass. Like, it's in the bottom, like certified badass. Like, holy crap. So I am honored to have you on my show. I am going to learn so much. I went through the website. I was looking at, because I do a lot of leadership and I do soft skills with the resilience seminars that I do 4 times a year. I do a 2-day resilience seminar and we talk about soft skills and engaging and different things. And I was like, yes, someone that I know what they're talking about. Because I have people on the show and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, so just roll with it. You know, I just ask the question, but I literally know what you're talking about. This is so cool.
Yeah, it is. It is very cool. I really love my life. So I have fun with what I do. Yeah, I love my life. So yeah. So I, you know, it's awesome. So and I love my practice. I mean, I love my work, and I have fabulous clients, and I love my Aikido practice too.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought at this point in my life, because I'm not 20 anymore, and I can move and fall and get up and get down and all around better than any time in my life as I can right now. So that's really exciting. So, but Sean, as you talk about all that, I should say to your listeners, so often when people hear that I'm a martial artist and that I teach conflict resolution, they often will say, well, what are you going to do, kick my ass? And I always kind of laugh about that because I'll say, well, no, I'm not going to kick your ass, but I could help you fall on your ass. So because my art is really, it's about blending, it's about moving, mm-hmm. it's about using the attacker's energy and guiding it and directing it so they don't get hurt and you don't get hurt is what it's about. So it makes a really great metaphor for teaching about what I call mastering the art of conflict. I've kind of gone beyond those words of managing it or reconciling it, but to really master conflict. Because you have conflict. People that say they don't have conflict, I just don't think that's true. I think they might ignore it, but I think you can't innovate and you don't grow unless you have conflict. And it doesn't have to be awful conflict. It's just got to be you've got to be, that's that pushing together that has to happen. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what is great about, like, I find myself asking, what is great about every situation, no matter what it is? Like, what is great about this moment? What's great about this moment? What's great about this moment? And when I think, literally, what is great about this moment right now is we're talking about, on the show, transformation and really, like, the transition moments. But that's really what Aikido's are all about is taking that energy from your attacker and transferring it. Right. And taking their momentum and using it against them. And it's just, I find it so amazing how many times in life where we could take a situation with negative energy, positive energy, whatever, and carry it on to another situation and another and another and another. And it's all about creating gratitude, right? Like, that's how you cultivate gratitude, is taking the momentum from one positive situation into another and creating another positive situation that creates another and another, and then that snowball effect. And you can do the same thing inside of that martial art. And it's really the foundation of it.
Yeah. And you really can get in a flow, and it's fun. It's really fun to see what happens. And I think, you know, what happens in our lives, I think we throw resistance into it. And we throw resistance and it kind of stops that flow. And I think that's where we get hurt. And actually, I just wrote a blog And I said, you know, in 27 years of practicing Aikido, the few times I've gotten hurt is always when I resist too much. So, and I think that's true in our everyday life as well.
Absolutely.
We have all these things that we get into resistance about, and some of them are just kind of things that you don't even think about. I mean, just rushing to something is kind of creating mm-hmm. resistance. And you can kind of just feel it in your body, and there's tension that happens there. And I think that we also, you know, we assume negative intent on other people's part so often that is a form of resistance. You know, something happens and we automatically think this is what that person's thinking and this is why they're doing it. So often we're wrong. And so there's a lot of ways, you know, that fear or insecurity also is ways we throw resistance into our own path. And really that's where I find I get hurt. So, and it's even the thoughts that I have about what might be happening or projecting something in the future. Again, it's a way of creating resistance. And so when you can get into that flow of possibility and curiosity and asking questions, it's so much more fun than not. So, and safer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The first question that I always ask all the guests, I think is the very foundational and most important question that you could ever ask yourself. There's a ton of questions. You always say, ask better questions, you get better answers. But I think the most important question that anyone could ever ask someone, because it's like it lays the groundwork, is why. You know, when we're wronged, we're like, why did that happen? Or if I did something crazy, I'm like, oh man, why? Like, what? Because it's almost like you're closing the door on that moment, right? So I ask you, why? Why do what you do? Why Spiral Impact? Why, you know, Aikido? Why, you know, why are you doing what you do today?
Well, you know, that is a great question. And you know, I have to go way back in my life. And I think about when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I was always curious as to how things worked. You know, the why. You know, what, you know, how do things work? And I mean, I had a father that was an engineer. Of course, I ended up studying engineering, but I was always curious how things worked, and actually, you know, that whole thing of in terms of why are we here? But you know, after I got into engineering, which I loved, I loved the study of engineering, and I also really enjoyed the work. I worked in product design and development, but I found when I was there, the biggest challenge wasn't the technical part of my work. That was the easy part. The biggest challenge was the soft part of that work, the people, and really being able to engage with people in a way that you could really bring out the best in people, bring out the best ideas. And I found that to be very difficult, and I had no training or no skill in really how to do that. I mean, that's not something that they taught me in school. And so the reason why I do what I do now is I really, you know, I mean, I thought about calling my business the physics of relationship, because what I do is really much like that. And so, you know, I mean, I, you know, in my little brain, I can think about drawing vectors and all kinds of things with the way people interact. Although I will say, and someone called me on this the other day, which is, you know, my company's Spiral Impact. But one of the examples I frequently use is a hammer and a nail is the way that we often go about doing things. And, you know, that's Newtonian physics for every, you know, it's cause and effect. But really, if you look at physics, there's quantum mechanics. And in quantum mechanics, there's all kinds of possibilities. So, and really, that's where my spiral comes in, which is, that's where power is in a spiral. It's not in a straight line. It's in a spiral. So why do I do what I do? Is I just really get a kick out of getting things to work easy. And actually, I have been teaching conflict resolution for, gosh, I don't know, 10, 15 years or so. And I was on the Aikido mat one night, and I was just kind of thinking to myself, because I'm always improving. I'm always changing. I'm always improving what I do, and I think making things better and simpler. as I go on. And I was practicing one night, and I was just kind of thinking, because I get great ideas when I'm on the mat, and also whenever I'm doing something that's not sitting at the computer. But I got thinking about, what is it that people want to do? People want to do what they love, and they want to do it with some ease and grace. I think that's probably universally true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there are some people that are wired, they want to be in conflict and struggling all the time, but I think most people would really like to just do whatever it is they love and do it with some ease and grace. And I got thinking about, well, what's required to do that? And so as I was practicing, that's kind of when the spiral impact thing came to me. But then I thought, well, you know, what do you, you know, a 30,000 foot view down, you know, what do you need? You got to have knowledge. You got to have knowledge about yourself. You got to have knowledge about the other thing or person that you're involved with. You've got to have, that's one thing, knowledge. But another thing is focused energy, which is you've got to have that calm energy to show up and perform. And that calm energy is what I call centering. And then you've got to have intention. And you got to know what it is that you want to go for. And then there's also support. You know, almost everything, you need some kind of a support. So that was kind of how that whole model evolved. And I really love it because it just does, if you follow these simple, you know, simple strategies, really things don't have to be as complicated as we make them. So, and I can say that, I mean, I just was in a room full of people that got some news that they really didn't like, and I was aware I was sitting there thinking, you know, I can see how disappointed they are, but I can also see the potential and the possibility that lies ahead of them. They can't see that right now, but I can see that for them. So, so I don't mean to make light of everybody, you know, anybody's situation, but that becomes practice, and that's when I. You know, when I talk about mastering conflict, it's not like, okay, so you're on some pinnacle and you reached that, but it's really that practice of recognizing when, you know, when you get into that struggle and you keep showing up. You keep showing up and you keep trying something different and you keep learning and you keep moving. And I think that's what the master does. The master is that one that's always stepping on the mat. And George Leonard, who was an Aikidoist, wrote the book Mastery, and that was what he was all about. It's not that you've arrived, it's that you keep showing up, and that's what mastery is. So,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm in a mastermind group called M1. M1 stands for March to a Million. It's like you're marching to your first million, right? It's just a way to, you know, build your business. But the one concept that it is you are a whole life millionaire, not just money millionaire, not just relationships, not just, it's everything. It's health and wealth and relationships, and it's everything. And we talk about mastering each area first. Don't master it all at the same time. You have to master each area individually. And what does that look like? You know, and so our mentor is Rock Thomas. And he's constantly beating us like, dude, you got to master one area. Stop focusing on so many areas. Focus on one area and get it done. You know, one at a time. If you lack it in relationships, then focus on relationships. And when you start getting it, then you move on to something else because something else will fall off. And, you know, it's just the way it works. But he's always talked about mastery. Like, what does that look like to you? Because if you don't know what mastery looks like, you might be mastering it right now, but you would never know because you don't even know what mastery looks like. So what is master, like when you're mastering conflict, what does that look like? What does mastering conflict look like? Is it not just screaming at people when you get mad or is it talking things out or what does conflict mastery look like to you?
Oh, what it looks like to me is it looks like honor to me. It looks like it, you know, and that's something that I take with me wherever I go is, one of my driving things is around honoring myself and honoring others. That's for me. But for me, that's what it looks like. And so, and you know, and I will add in, you know, I think the first half of my life, I probably spent an awful lot of time trying to honor other people at the expense of myself. So that honoring myself and honoring others is the part that I work toward. And And I have to say, I feel pretty darn good. I mean, if something would have happened to me today, I can't think of anybody that I feel that I am not in some kind of honorable situation with. I feel pretty clean with all of my relationships. I don't tend to leave things hanging and unresolved. So I'm always willing to stay in there and really, and when you think about conflict, I'm willing to do the work on myself to be able to show up and engage in a way, again, that honors myself and honors the other person. And, you know, when you can do that, it's pretty darn exciting. I think it's pretty darn exciting when you're able to have enough wherewithal and enough center to be able to ask a question from a space of just total curiosity that is reflective for, a person that's involved there. You know, I had a client a few years ago that, you know, the organization had espoused all these values and were trying to integrate them all, yet some of his behavior was really not at all in line with these values. And, you know, yeah. I mean, this guy's paying me a lot of money, and I said to him, I said, you know, I would be very remiss if I didn't call to your attention if these values are really important. You know, you kind of like, do you think you're modeling them? And, mm-hmm. you know, and I gotta be able to say that in a way that he can hear it. And that's, for me, that's a way of, had I not said that, that would be not honoring my contract with myself or with him. And so for me to just kind of let that go would not be, I would have not been true to myself and what I'm trying to accomplish. So, you know, and I like to be able to be one that's willing to ask the questions that nobody else wants to ask. So that to me is mastering it it really requires a tremendous amount of personal awareness around that. So, somebody asked me yesterday, what are three things? And I think, you know, spending time on a daily basis of breathing, meditating, you know, whatever that is for you, that's really about paying attention to what's going on inside yourself. That's the best. That is such an important investment if you really want to be at the top of your game. So, and I think that's probably true in whatever you do. I think.
Yeah.
So,
I completely 100% agree with you. That's probably the best answer that I could receive. I mean, it's literally every, I'm like, yup. Like, okay, uh-huh. I agree with that. I agree. Like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's like a comprehensive list, you know, but it's actionable. And that's what I like.
Uh-huh.
You know, when somebody says, you know, oh, this is what mastery looks like. You're like, yeah, I can totally do that. You know what I mean? But if you come uh-huh. up with some weird, like skewed, like complicated, you know, answer, like, I don't even know how to do, like, how would I even do that? Like, how does, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So thank you for communicating that. That was an amazing definition. Thank you so much. So tell me, let's go back. So you said 20 plus years. So let's go back 20 years. So we'll do 20. Who was Karen before you got to this point? You know, when, even in 1992, you know, when we were working at, the division of GM and you were creating Spiral Impact and all, like who were you before you got to this point today?
Okay. So let me tell you who I was and I'll tell you the people that were close to me when I decided to do this work, none of them, I was married at the time and my husband was kind of like, you're going to do what? You know, because I was very clear about just doing this business. And, you know, at that time, you know, I was scared to death to speak in front of a group of people. I mean, I would tremble and really just start perspiring. and also I was not very articulate back then either. And I was very insecure. And I tell you, when I was exposed to this work and in particular Aikido, it really opened my eyes to how dysfunctional my communication was. And so, I would say that this work for me has been revolutionary in my own development, and particularly early on. So, it was particularly early on. You know, when I was married, I hesitate to kind of say this because it sounds awful to say, but my husband at the time, I married someone older than me, and if we were out, he would hold my hand, and when I started to speak, he'd squeeze it like he didn't want me to talk. And so that's where I was.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I was back then. And now, you know, I speak, and you know, we are very good friends now. And actually, you know, we have two grown children together, and we, you know, we're beyond all of that. But I think we were both doing the best we could do at the point in time with what we had and what we knew. So I think that's always an important thing to remember. But yeah, back then, that was me. I was, like I said, I do what I do because I had a need to do it. I didn't have any idea on how to communicate well. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a scientific family, and that's what I had. So, yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. So looking back, can you pinpoint exactly what your transformation was? You know, some people go and let's say they get into a car accident and now they're bound to a wheelchair, or somebody gets they finally get a PhD and they use it to, I don't know, find research for diseases or whatever. Like, do you know exactly what your transformation was and how you got here?
Well, you know, it's funny because I do a lot of speaking, and I listen to a lot of other speakers, and a lot of them have these very dramatic stories. Mine's not so dramatic, but I actually, when I was married, one of the wonderful things, we did a lot of wonderful things, but we did a lot of, my husband was in dentistry, and we did a lot of practice management type things and personal growth type things, and we used to go to a dental conference out in Colorado. And one year, actually, I met the man that I studied initially to do this work. His name is Tom Crum, and he wrote a book called The Magic of Conflict, and he was an Aikidoist. And he presented at this dental conference, and I was in his thing. And I tell you, that was my transformative moment. I was there, and I just got – it was kind of like lightning bolts came out of the sky and said, Karen, the next part of your path, you are going to go do this work. And it was very clear to me. I mean, there was never a question about that to me. And again, I didn't have a lot of support of people close to me, and I certainly didn't have the skill to do it when I started. So, but that was it for me. It was just sitting there and thinking, wow, this is it. Because I thought, you know, I'm a good engineer, and actually I'm probably a better engineer than I give myself credit for. But that's kind of what I thought back then. But I was not secure enough to say I'm a great engineer. but I thought I'd have more impact on people's lives doing this work than I would in my engineering work. So, and you know, and I have to say that I have toyed with the idea of going back into engineering because I did like it. I found that kind of work really interesting. And if I could take the skills I have now back into that field, it might be kind of interesting. But I really don't. I'm curious about that. I doubt that I would do that because I really love the lifestyle I have now with this type of work. But I'd be kind of curious about that. But yeah, that was my transformative moment. No car wreck. Nothing like that.
Nothing to write home to Good Morning America about?
No, nothing to get people gasping in an audience. You know, it's just, you know, honestly, you know, when I listened to some of the questions you said you were going to ask me, you know, I have to say that my life has been, you know, I'm not going to say it's been an easy street because it hasn't been, but I have had, you know, I grew up in a middle-class family. Dad was an engineer, mom was a science teacher. You know, I decided to go to engineering school, kind of, and I got accepted, and I waltzed in there. I did good. You know, I met this lovely man. We had kids. You know, it's like things haven't been, I haven't lived a traumatic life. And I'm not going to say that, you know, I haven't had some trauma, but I haven't had,
sure.
you know, my life has not been one of crises. It's just not been a lot of drama, I don't think.
Okay.
Now, maybe I might look back, and I certainly shed my share of tears. But
sure. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But
oh, I think
like,
we all
not,
have.
What,
oh, absolutely.
But not like some people. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the best part about it? What's been the best part about your transformation or your journey so far?
Oh, you know, I just feel really, this will sound silly. The best part about it is I think I said earlier to you, I love my life. I really love my life. I have, you know,
awesome.
I wake up most mornings and I look forward to what's on the docket, and I see different people. I have time by myself. I you know, I get to enjoy good friends, good food. I live in a lovely home, and I just feel like I have a lot of joy in my life. And so that would be, you know, that's my $1 million thing is I have, I feel very happy. So that's what it is. And, you know, many, 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 many years ago, I don't know, was in some kind of something somewhere, and this was actually before I got married. I was still an engineer, and I probably was in my early 20s, and someone said, you know, to plan your life, what you should do is go to the beach and spend a day and just write, just journal about what your ideal life would be like, and don't get into too many specific details, just be general about it. And so I did that, and, you know, it was interesting because I found that journal a few years ago, and my life is just like I wrote. Now, if at that point in time you would have said to me, I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have laughed because it was beyond my ability to visualize.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I
thought
to myself.
I think we all do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would never have thought this is what I was going to be doing, but the lifestyle that I created is very much what I had written down. So, yeah, I don't know how, you know, and that's that whole thing with, you know, having a plan. If it's too specific,
yeah.
I think you cut yourself off a little bit. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So on the flip side of that, what was the worst part so far about your transformation and your journey?
The worst part. You know, I think the hardest part for me, and it was getting divorced, and it wasn't a nasty divorce. It wasn't anything like that, but it was just that whole thing of having planned a family, having two kids,
right.
And then going through that was that even in the best of circumstances is difficult. And it was one of those things, again, it wasn't like there were awful things going on. I mean, it was, because I would say I still, you know, I still love my ex-husband a lot.
Sure.
And I think, and we, you know, we have a good, really good relationship at this point, he and his wife. And so, but I think that was the hardest part. And I think the hardest part was the fact that I knew it wasn't the best thing for both of us. But it was really hard to really make a decision to do that, and
sure.
that was probably my hardest part. So,
wow.
And of course, you know, there's always the time when maybe business isn't as busy as you'd like it to be, or something like that. But I think in terms of that was the hardest part. So, that would be it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So who has been your biggest influencer?
Gosh, my biggest influencer. Well, you know, of course, my teacher, Tom Crum, who I originally studied with, I oftentimes forget about acknowledging him because it's been a while back, but he was a huge influence for me. And also, he's semi-retired. I don't really see him that much anymore, and he's not really publishing much anymore either, but he was a huge influencer of mine, and certainly, you know, I learn a lot on the Aikido mat, and so There are certain Aikido teachers, and actually one of them, Kevin Choate, who was from Chicago, he had a huge influence on me close to the end of his life. He really had come to something within himself around how to teach Aikido in a way that really changed how I practiced. And I feel forever grateful to him about that. So, and he died rather young, and we were all rather really disappointed. But so he would be an influencer of mine as well. And, you know, plus I read a lot. I listen to a variety of podcasts. I read a lot of different books. I think it's a great time to be alive because we have so many resources to inspire us and to stimulate our thought and stuff. So I listen in on a lot of different things and read a lot of different things. So and I really, you know, something I try to do is I really try to stay too much out of the ugliness of our politics and stuff right now. I do find that I really try to focus on things that are adding value to my life. So I think that's an important discipline to have, is to, you know, be informed but not be overwhelmed. And so knowing the high level stuff but not getting dragged into all the muck, I think is important.
Yeah, we are inundated with I can't even, if you had to put a measurement on it, it's got to be millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of data streams.
Oh.
I mean, I could watch Gary Vaynerchuk for hours and still not make a dent in the content that he has. I could read books upon books upon books upon books because I've got a bunch. I've got, you know, Sean Atcher wrote a book. What was it? The Happiness... I've got it on my shelf over there. It's a Sean Atcher book. It's called The Happiness Index or The Happiness. But anyway, I've got that book. I've got Purpose Driven Life. I've got a bunch of John Maxwell books. I mean, I could read every leadership book by John Maxwell and still not even scratch the surface because Mark Sanborn writes leadership books. And then there's Zig Ziglar's books from Tom Ziglar. And we are inundated with so much information. How do you get through it all? Is there a way that you kind of just weed through, how does that happen?
You know, I think, honestly, I'm not going to say that I read thousands of books or that I even read a book a week. I'm not going to even say that I always read a book a month, but I read a lot. I read a lot of articles and all of that.
Oh, I read a ton. LinkedIn articles, maybe 30 second to 3 minute reads. Definitely.
Right.
Yep, definitely.
Right. So, I do a lot of that kind of reading. And I have to say that at some point, a lot of the stuff around leadership all kind of gets back to the same principles, but said in a different way.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's, and I say that even about the work, the stuff I do. I mean, spiral impact is a specific thing, but, you know, there's the way I put it together is really unique, but the things that are in there, they're not like, it's not like it's some, you know, brand new thing you never thought of before. It's probably the way I talk about it that's unique. So I try to, you know, because I think it's always about inspiration, you know, who inspires you. And quite honestly, I tend to have a lot of that within myself. And I find that, you know, I listen to things mostly when I drive. And then when I'm in my home, I really have quiet, and I like listening to the birds and the crickets and the frogs and stuff like that. So I find that that's what I find inspiring. And so, and I find, you know, sometimes you don't have to have some famous person that's written books that knows a lot of stuff.
Sure.
You know, because I have clients I learn a lot from as well. And
absolutely.
I have to say that, and and I think sometimes I can be asking a client things, and I have had things that my clients have said to me that was like, yeah, you got it there. And that's the next piece I needed to hear. But, it, you know, it kind of comes from within them. And so I think that, so So anyway, I think that there's
absolutely
everything out there. But I also think I don't like to get overwhelmed with too much stuff. And I also find some writing styles are more appealing to me than others too. So
sure.
Yeah.
Perfect. So who has been your biggest supporter?
Oh, my biggest supporter.
And you can't say family.
You mean in terms of
in business or throughout the journey with, like, I firmly believe that, like, I've met people along the way, and I wish I could remember their phone numbers, or maybe I'll look them up on Facebook, but there's people in my life who have come in for 6 months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, and have really helped me propel forward, you know, and I think of it at the time, and then you just kind of lose track, and, you know, what have you, but is there who has been your supporters, you know, your base?
I think I've had mentors over the years that probably would not have said they were my mentor, but they were. And, you know, one of them was a man that I worked with when I was an engineer, and his name was Odell Storms, and I have no idea where he is in the world right now, but he actually brought me over to the manufacturing plant to be the product rep in the manufacturing plant. And and that was something my management didn't really want me to do, because here I am, I'm a reasonably attractive woman, and I'm in this factory that was like the toughest union factory in the country. But you know, he really believed in me, and you know, he saw something in me that he also knew. He said, you know, I need somebody that people are going to want to work with in this job, and people like you, and they say they respect you. So he was one, and then you know, I had I've got a client right now who I feel that way about too. And it's really not that he and I talk that much, but it's the fact that he really values me and what I do. And so that for me is really a support, is when somebody just, it's like that trust in the fact that they trust what you're doing. I have another friend and client, Pooja Dayan, who she's been a huge cheerleader of mine forever and ever. And I would say she's hired me. She's a confidant. And actually, I met her through Tom Crum. She used to be one of his trainers. And so she's been very supportive. You know, I really feel blessed with a lot of amazing people in my life. So, I would say that, you know, even after all the lack of support that I felt I had at the beginning of what I decided to do, my mom and dad are very supportive, and my former husband.
Perfect.
Not that we talk about business all that much, but I feel like that, you know, they're supportive. So, So I've been in mastermind groups too. I'm not in one currently, and I would really like to be. I was in one, and it just didn't feel like the right place for me to be, and I withdrew, and I have missed that. So,
well, we can definitely talk because M1 is for men and women. There's a women's side and then there's a men's side, and it's a tribe of women and a tribe of men. And then so we can definitely. I'll send you a link. You can check it out and see what you think. No pressure. I absolutely love it. There is some, I'm telling you, all we do is talk about mastery and what it looks like. And we dive into becoming a whole life person with relationships, finances, with health, with lots of different things. And it's a well-connected network of amazing people who just want to live a life of impact. That's what it is.
Interesting. Well, send that to me. And is the women's side called F1?
No.
Or W1?
No kidding, right? I would have never thought of that. That's awesome.
M1.
So yeah,
is that master?
That's awesome.
Is it master one?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tell
the women and the men.
Daniel Chang is the administrator and kind of the CEO of of some things, and I'm gonna have to tell him like, hey man, I we should M1's for men and F1 is for women. Jeez, that's awesome. I love that.
They keep them separate. So, they keep the men and women separate. Is that right?
Right. Yep, absolutely. A couple months ago, Rock invited, you know, whoever can come, come. I'm going to limit it to, like, I think he said 18 people or 18 couples or I don't know, something like that. But anyway, they did a mastermind in Mexico. And Rock's got a house out in Mexico. It's like a – it sleeps 18 or something like that. But they were like, all right, we're going to hang out for like 4 days. Who's coming? And then, you know, that's just things that they do. And they have three trips that they take every year. The next one's in Montreal. Then there's one in California. And then there's one in, like, Philly. But, yeah, it's absolutely amazing. It's just a tribe of you know, amazing, impactful people living healthy lives who want to live full out. But it's also business-based and stuff like that. But you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. It's, I'll send you a link. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it.
That'd be great.
So what was the best resource that you had found during your journey?
The best resource?
Because we're talking about resources, like, books, and masterminds and stuff. What do you think was the best resource that you found?
Gosh. You know, I think – because I've been doing this for a while, I think when I early on, I got very involved in a professional organization that was a training and development organization here where I live in Indianapolis, and that was a huge resource for me in terms of really meeting the right people and people that I really resonated with, and so that for me was a really great resource, and I would account, you know, to really my biggest clients in the first half of my business came from that work. And actually I could even trace back my biggest, longest term clients now to those relationships that I built during that time, during that time frame. So, you know, for now what's weird is those organizations, it's not the same as it used to be 20 years ago. So people don't tend to go to meetings like they do that, like they did in prior years. So that for me was a really great resource. And, you know, I think other, you know, other resources are, you know, workshops I've gone to. You know, I can't really say this one thing is a huge resource for me. I think it's, so I'm not, that's not a very good question. That's not a very good answer, is it?
Well, like I said, there's so much, right? I mean, there's so many things I've read. So my goal for 2018, I'm going to try this towards the end of the year so I can kind of prime myself. My goal for 2018 is to read one book a week. That's my goal. One book a week.
Okay.
I'm going to try one book a week.
Okay. You should read my book. You should read my book.
Okay. I will write this down because that was going to be my, you know, my very next question is, you know, talk about your books, talk about your business, talk about like what, like how do you help people? So I'm going to write that. So what is your, so because I already have, you talk about the three books that you already wrote?
Yeah. Spiral Impact.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So, Spiral Impact.
Yeah. That's
the Power to Get It Done, right?
You know, my book, I wrote my book for busy people. And I've actually had people say to me, you know what, this is a great book because it's not really long. And I, it's 120 pages, and
so fine.
You know,
it's like
so you can
like quick.
You can read that in an evening, and I think it's pretty. Anyway, I think I know for myself a lot of nonfiction books, you know, business books and stuff. It's kind of like I think they could have made the books a lot shorter, but somehow I think people have to feel like they got to write something really long, And I just don't think that's true. I think you can write it. It's harder to write a shorter book and be more concise, but that's what my book is. Spiral Impact, The Power to Get It Done with Grace. And I'll tell you, it is available anywhere that you buy books. The best place to buy it, because on my website, I have a package that you can't get anywhere else except on my website. And that includes that paperback book, it includes a CD that I recorded, or it's an audio that I recorded. Oh, it's centering practice for while you're driving. So, which is a tool that goes along with my work. It also includes that deliberate feedback book. It also includes several cards I have that are little, you know, they're learning aid cards that take key content and put them in on a card. So, yeah, and then I have a longer centering meditation that I send as a download. So those are all things that are available only on my website as a package. So, and you can get that. Yeah. So that's where I recommend it.
I'm adding it to my list, and all the listeners have
great.
The knowledge now. Go to the website, Spiral Impact.
Yeah.
Order the book. There's a package. Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. They can do that.
I love it.
So that's good. And the other thing, you know, my website, I have several videos on there, and which I think are very interesting. There's one that's called How Conflict is Like Water and What Does It Cost You? And I got some really interesting data. I correlate, you know, free-flowing water is like what conflict should be. But then when we try to constrain it, and I've got some data on that. So it's a slideshow. And I have some data on there that talks about how much unresolved bad communication costs organizations. So that's on there. There's some speaking clips on there, some little bit of Aikido movement on those things. And also there's a couple surveys on there. So if you would have any interest in speaking with me, I have a couple surveys, one's for teams, one's for leaders, and I offer a 30-minute consult with those. So
that's
there as well. So yeah, that's it.
That's awesome.
Enough.
There you go. So how did you get into the martial art game? I mean, did you just meet somebody and said, you know, I'm gonna right? I mean, talk about that process. You know, I know you briefly had sent them about it earlier, and you know, but what was the process of you getting started and incorporating that into the business?
Okay. Well, many years ago, I read a story in a book that was one of those stories that you read, and it was called and your listeners could Google find it. It was called A Kind Word Turneth Away Wrath. And that was a story that Terry Dobson wrote. And it was about, it's a story about a time where he was in Japan studying, and he was on a train. And there's a drunk that gets on the train. I won't spoil the story by ad-libbing it too much, but the story really speaks to the soul of Aikido. And that story just really gripped me. I never forgot about it. And so then as I mentioned earlier, when I went to the dental conference and Tom Crum was speaking, he was an Aikidoist. And because, you know, when I first read that story, there was no Aikido near me. I never had heard of it before. And there was plenty of karate and taekwondo, but there was no Aikido. So when I went to that thing with Tom, I came back home, and sure enough, there was some Aikido here, and so I started practicing. And there was a group here that I started with that I wasn't. It was an older style of Aikido that I didn't care for as much. But then another person drove up here, and we've had a core group of people that have been practicing for, gosh, almost three decades. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's just layers and layers and layers to the practice. So it's really fun. Yeah. So when I came back and there was Aikido here, I immediately started practicing, and that's a big part of my life. It's a big part of my life. And it's funny. I'm single, and I met this man, and he asked me out on a Friday night, and I said, you know, I do Aikido on Friday nights, unless there's something really uniquely special that I want to do. I do. And he said to me, you would give up a Friday night to go do something like that? And I thought, this is not the man for me. So Yeah, I was kind of like, give it
like,
up.
Wait, what?
Said,
you
I'm
do martial
giving
arts?
Up. I'm going to do something I love to do. It's not like I'm giving up something just so I can go out and drink or, you know, I don't know. It's like, but I find that just, I love to practice. It's quite a, it's a community. It's, you know, it's, I think the practice also, you know, it's a lot of movement. So it's not, you know, it's not like a yoga class. It's not like anything. It's not like anything.
Right.
I mean, we do a lot of tumbling, and it's really great exercise and great stretching, and it's a great community of people. So at least it is here. Now, I think it's like anything. It depends on the teacher and the group of people you are. I can't say that every Aikido dojo is going to give you that experience. So.
Yeah, the only Aikido that I've ever seen or whatever at first was, you know, like Steven Seagal movies. You know, I'm like, wow, that's really cool.
Sure.
And always, you know, he talks about, you know, whatever. But that was like my first introduction. And then middle of 2000s, you know, 06, 07, 08, 09, all those, you know, I started getting involved in some MMA just to kind of work out and kind of do some jujitsu, whatever. And I was like, I want to see if they actually do this. And there was a coach who actually taught people how to do this. And I got thrown around and flipped.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and he, you always tell me that you're putting too much weight into it because I'm going to destroy you. Cause watch this. And then, and he really showed how your momentum, your energy can be used against you. Right.
Yeah.
And, and I learned so much, not even about myself, but about life through that, because we sometimes do the same thing. We go full force into something without really thinking about it. We go full force into something and we fall flat on our face, you know, and then we get back up.
Right.
And then we do the same thing again. But it's, and in that, now correct me if I'm wrong, from what I remember, you know, during these movements and everything that you're learning, it's not only getting back up, but it's learning about it, but transferring the energy to a more productive place and not just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And I think, you know, in one way, when you say using their energy against them, I actually wouldn't use that terminology. I would just say I just directing their energy so that I have influence over what they do.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, because it's like my intent isn't to hurt them. My intent is to diffuse whatever they're doing on the mat. So, but you know, we always want to, you know, you got to learn how to fall so you protect yourself. But we always want to take care of each other, because if we don't, we don't have people to practice with.
Right.
So, you
right.
know, that's, you know.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, and, you know,
very important.
And some people, you know, some people feel like it's too graceful, but it's interesting is when you're practicing, you know, there's just something that's like, there's a magic thing that happens when you do it, when you got it right, and you can feel it. It's like, there's just, it's so easy, and whoever's attacked you just ends up feeling like they fall through a trap door, and it's like they don't know what happened to them. So, I mean, it's just like, it's not like they've been pounded to the ground. It's just like, oh, I'm on the ground. How did that happen? So, and of course, you know, I did a video a few years ago, and I talk about how it's called the evolution of innovation, and it starts out with conflict. And I did this with one of my teachers. And we, you know, first we just start out, we're just kind of struggling. And then I talk about influence. And, you know, and we did movement that was, it was really kind of one-sided influence. And, you know, in a way, it can be rather manipulative, because I want to influence that person to do what I want them to do. But then the next phase of that is what I would call collaboration. And that would become more freestyle. So we go at each other, we stay engaged, but we're catching each other's center and continuing this movement. And that's where I really love that practice. It's a lot of fun because you're always looking for openings and movement and it's just so much fun to be able to do with a person. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So briefly tell me. And the listeners, so how do you incorporate all of that into Spiral Impact, and how is Spiral Impact impacting people? Like, how do you develop leaders and teams and organizations? Like, how does that go?
Okay, so Spiral Impact is a multi-level teaching because what I do is I've got a model that's based upon a spiral that's cognizant things that you can do. But there are also when I work with people, and actually I can do this with you. I mean, and your listeners. Now, unless you're mm-hmm. driving a car while you're listening to this, you know, just take both of your fists and push them together. So that's conflict. So conflict by definition is to strike together. So at some point, there is a moment where this can become destructive or innovative. And that's a choice that you make. And it becomes destructive if you push too hard, too fast, or too long. But just feel that and then open one of your hands up and just notice how all it takes is an opening, a spiral, and it moves everything. So when I'm actually with people, I'll have them stand face to face and push fists together. And then just one of them mm-hmm. open their hand and shift to the side, and you can just feel how everything opens up. And so when I work with leaders and teams, I teach them that. It's like, so how do you move conflict off of the destructive part of it and make it innovative? And so and you spiral. So when I coach people and they'll share with me something they're struggling with, it's like, okay, so remember to spiral. Now, I don't want to give away all my secrets, but there's things like you got to be centered. You've got to move. You got to ask questions. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that we all forget about in conflict is what the intent is. Because, you know, a spiral mm-hmm. without intent or direction is really a circle. We don't want to go in circles. We want to go in a certain direction. And so, but those are, you know, it kind of gets back to those four major quadrants that I had talked to you about before. And so the spiral is multidisciplinary in terms of it encompasses the physical, because some people learn physical. You can see it, you can feel it, and you can hear about it. And so that's where I touch all those different points with people in terms of their learning. And I teach concepts that, well, we call them centering concepts. You know, mm-hmm. mindfulness and emotional intelligence are really big right now. And, you know, and I've been teaching that stuff for a long time. We call it centering. But it's kind of all basically gets back to the same thing, which is connecting with yourself. And I do things where, you know, I can push on people and they wobble, and I can show them center and then they don't wobble. So the model really starts with conflict, you know, conflict within yourself. You know, and a lot of times conflict within yourself is if you can resolve that, that people outside of you is pretty easy, really.
Perfect.
But there's interpersonal conflict, and then I do a lot of stuff with teams.
Yeah.
And teams, I help them kind of create an intent around how do they want to relate together and how do they want to define their culture.
Yep.
So I do a lot of stuff with, you know, culture change too is what it ends up being. And a lot of times organizations don't really define what their cultures are. So I mm-hmm. help them do that. And
Awesome.
So it's, yeah.
One of my favorite classes that I teach is in my resilience seminar is interpersonal problem solving. And then the mm-hmm. follow-up class of that is good listening and active constructive responding. Because people sometimes mm-hmm. they respond destructively, you know. And nowadays mm-hmm. it's the scrolling of the phone. I'm trying to talk to you about something and you're scrolling through Facebook or you're scrolling through your phone or you know, it used to be people are checking their email. When I walk into the boss's office, he's like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. And he's like checking his email. And I'm like, bro, like, but now it's Facebook. Now it's, you know, you're eating dinner as a family and you're all on devices. You know what I mean? So that's become the destructive way of the listening and the, you know, responding. And and it's so there's a constructive way of doing things, there's a destructive way of doing things. And one of the things that I really think is great is we talk about the shoulds. Like when you should all over people, you should do this, or I think you should do this, or I think the world should be like that. You know what I mean? Like when you put those shoulds in there, it just ruins communication and ruins organizations, you know?
Yeah. Well, really, so. And I think another part of that too is I really teach people to speak as what's going on impacts you.
Sure.
Or the stakeholders. Because if I'm making it about that other person, what they're doing, they tune me out. So, and I, you know, I had a client a long time ago that was notorious for multitasking, and I remember sitting in his office, and he was doing all his things, and I was supposed to be talking to him, and then I just stopped talking, and he looked at me, and I said, you know, what I have to say is really important, and I really want you to be able to hear it. So when you're done doing what you're doing, I'll go ahead and talk.
Yeah.
And again, that's me honoring myself and honoring others.
Sure.
You know? So
yeah.
it's really,
absolutely.
You know, what I have to say is important, and I'm not going to try to, you know, figure out how to get you know, force my information at you, because it's not worth talking. It's not worth my breath if you're not paying attention. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you said something that sparked. So right before I teach that, you know, the course, I have them watch the nail video. Have you ever seen the girl who has the nail in her head?
I love the nail video.
Everybody watches that. They're like, that's my wife. Oh, my God. That's my. And then the wife looks up and says, really? No, that's you. Okay. That is so you. And it's so funny to watch the communication and then light up and go, oh, my God. I was like, so you recognize what that looks like. That's good.
I love that. That video is great. That video is fabulous. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
As we close, can you give a call to action? What should someone do today? You know, we talked about buying your book, which is called Spiral Impact. Set a goal, plan something. You mentioned journaling earlier, which I think is amazing. Journaling has changed my life. You know, you said go back and read something you wrote like a year ago. You know, so what should someone do today? Give a call to action.
Okay. How about if I say, well, gosh, I have so many different calls of action I could do. So, okay, so call to action. Well, I'll tell you what, journal, I would say
you give more than
a breathing
one.
Practice. I would start a breathing practice.
Okay.
Breathing
like
down into your belt. Start a breathing practice. It doesn't have to be insane. Just take some time and space, and just take 3 deep breaths down into your belly, in through your nose to your belly, and out through your mouth. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said they've been trying to meditate, and I said, you know, meditation can be really frustrating as a beginner, and I always encourage people start with a breathing practice, because breathing is much. It's a great step into meditation. So I would say start a breathing practice. The other thing I would say is start asking, you know, notice when you have conflict, what statements you make about it. And because what happens is when we have conflict, we usually make statements like she is evil or she's discriminating against me. And you know, they will never change, or he always does that. And so one of the key parts of Spiral Impact is to change your statements into questions, acknowledgments, or both.
Okay.
So, you know, and it's interesting again, because we get into those things where we make statements. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was going off about his boss. She discriminates against him because he's a man. And I said, that's what he said. And I said, well, can you tell me what her behavior is that that you experienced that? And he said, yeah. He says, like, we're in a group and she'll call on me to answer a question. And I said, oh. I said, how is that about discriminating on you? I mean, actually it was interesting because later I was with this group of people, and I realized the reason she would ask him something is because he's the most senior person in the group and he has the most experience. And he's also probably the most extroverted of the group. So she knows if she asks him something, he's going to respond, you know?
Right.
So,
Wow.
That's just perfect right there. It's making a negative assumption about something.
Yep.
So he's saying she's discriminating against me because I'm a man. And I thought, wow, that's pretty big. That's a pretty big accusation. So what is she doing that's making me feel that way? So questions rather than make statements when you've got a conflict. And, you know, the
sure.
last thing I'm going to say is about journaling. Because, you know, I used to journal when I was having difficult times. And you know, I was listening to the radio, and someone famous died. And I don't recall who it was. And it was somebody that everybody knew, and they said, you know, we found his journals, and he, on the outside, was this very positive person, but his journals, he lived this awful, dark life. And I thought, oh, shoot, if anyone read my journals, they would think the same thing, because I only wrote when I was struggling. And so,
right.
you know, I went and threw away all those journals. And every morning I start out, and it depends on how much time I have, I write down what I appreciate.
I have
an appreciation journal, and that's all I do. And some days I'll do a page, some days I'll do three pages, but I really start my day that way, because I think it's so easy to get into the drama of life. But again, it gets back to Sean, that I think what the best thing you can spend your time on is your own personal inner development, because that's,
mm-hmm.
that's the only thing you have control of in your life. You know, other people,
absolutely.
And what I find is the more that I have mastered my own presence and my own emotional self, my own spiritual self, the more that life just works for me. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the most important thing that I
perfect.
Could, you know, I can share with your folks. So yeah.
Amazing.
That's,
you have been amazing and fabulous, and I have enjoyed this a lot. We actually went like an hour and 5 minutes, or an hour and 10 or something.
Oh.
I was like, oh my gosh, like I could do this all day.
Oh, you
awesome.
Know, well, you know, my phone says we've got an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh wow.
So.
Okay. This is, yeah,
anyway,
I could, I mean, you just,
fun.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I didn't look at the time. I was like, holy crap. Okay. but yeah, I am definitely going to, man, I'd love to dive in and just learn so much more about what you do offline and really, some of the events that I speak at, cause I've been a speaker since, 2009, I became a drill instructor. I became a certified master resilience trainer in 2014.
Wow.
So since I guess 2014, really professionally speaking, but I mean, I've been an instructor for the Air Force for many, many years, since 2009.
Yeah.
And so I speak at events that I know they could use your content. Definitely going to get you in touch with some people. And it's going to be amazing. So. Yeah, absolutely. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with the listeners and myself everything that you have going on and exactly what Spiral Impact is and how the martial arts are translated in. And I've learned so much, and I thank you so much for coming on the show.
This has been fun for me too, Sean. So I really appreciate your invitation, and I look forward to talking to you some more. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you very soon.
Okay, so domo arigato gozai master, right?
I'm sorry?
You know what that means? Domo arigato gozai master. That's what we say to each other after we practice. That means thank you very much in Japanese. Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Have a good evening.
You too. Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another impactful episode with amazing guests that are just memorable and are creating moments within their own life. We talk about the transformations, the transitions, the overcoming, and how we are every day living our life to the fullest and living our life in a way that communicates our values. I call that living your brand. So every day I want you to live your brand. Find opportunities every day to go out and live out the values that you hold close to your heart. If anything has resonated with you, I know everything has resonated with me. There's so much stuff that I've taken away, so many notes that I've taken from Karen in the episode. Go on iTunes, go on Stitcher, leave a comment, get in touch with Karen at spiralimpact.com. She is completely amazing and mind-blowing. Get in touch with her. Share the episode on Facebook. Share it. Comment. Like it. Do what you got to do. Thank you so much for listening. And join us next time on Life Transformation Radio. Have a good night.